fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. Welcome to this week's edition of Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is, full disclosure, my partner, John DiGiorgio. Now, you might think that's a bit weird, but actually, whenever we're in the car and a song comes on, I sing the words, and he almost tells me off for knowing so much music, and I've realised I don't actually know what his music taste is. There's a couple of things that come up, so I wanted to actually interview him to learn a bit more. I mean, we've been together a while, but, you know, let's kind of find out a bit more about you. So, hello, darling, John.
Hello. And, nice to be here.
Yes. So, the first one on your list, for example, Cavaliere Rusticana's Intermezzo, I had to look up. So, you know, it just goes to show, I don't think I know you at all. What memory does this one actually bring for you?
Well, I think I need to give you a bit of background even before going into that to defend myself from your comments of a moment ago. So I do love music, but I don't listen to music much in forms of relaxation in the car or when traveling, because what I tend to do is I tend to actually listen to programs like your program, which are discussion programs.
Thank you very much.
on the radio. So I don't listen to that much music, although your listeners may be intrigued to know that I used to play the violin, which actually also is an influence on some of the songs that we'll be going through and some of the memories within this program today.
Okay, so the first one, is that something you can play?
I've not played it before. The memories associated with this are very different. They actually relate to my younger daughter, Amber, and her participation at the Manuel Theatre on stage, where she was doing her ballet, which she was very much into when she was about 7, 8, 9, probably a bit older than that too, actually. And whenever I hear this particular song, which is a very beautiful song, then immediately the memory that comes to mind is me sitting in the front row on the left-hand side in the Manuel Theatre, watching Amber perform. It's a memory that's stuck with me.
That's absolutely a lovely one. So we're going to take a bit of a listen to Intermezzo and relax into it and enjoy the image of ballerinas. So we're going to stick on the subject of Amber here, because she maintained her performing roles, but she moved from dance into music. Now, she has a beautiful, beautiful voice. And the next song is called Dance Your Dance. What's the memory that that one brings you?
So, Dance Your Dance is one track on a CD that Amber has recorded of her music. And she recorded this while on a visit to Arizona. She had met in Malta a particular person who is very connected in the music space, and she heard Amber speak and suggested to her that she record some of her music. And her husband was a producer, and she went and lived with them for, I think it was about 6 weeks in Arizona, and recorded this CD. This particular piece of music, together with all the others actually on that album, was composed and performed by Amber. So she performed, but she also wrote the music and the words for this particular song. So it really, the memory that it evokes is, in a sense, the start of Amber's musical, let me call it, career. And now, obviously, the music business is quite evolved and changed, and today it's all Spotify and Apple Music, etc., etc. But this was really the start of that journey for Amber.
It's a really beautiful album, actually, because it has lots of different tracks. This is actually my favourite, not just because of the music itself, but listen to the words, everyone. So this is Dance Your Dance by Amber Rhea.
your dance and sing your song. Yes, sing your song, 'cause ain't nothing wrong with you. Oh, oh, oh. Dance your dance and sing your song. Yes, sing your song, 'cause ain't nothing wrong with you.
And that flows nicely in. You were talking about Arizona. The next one is Breakfast in America by Supertramp. Now, Supertramp is somebody I would have never looked at. I think it's just that generational thing. And they come up on quite a lot of people's plate tracks. So I think I need to sort of do a bit more research. So Breakfast in America, where does that take you?
I suppose it takes me to, certainly to my youth, but particularly to the period that I lived in London when I was at university. And Supertramp was very much in vogue at the time. And I used to listen to a lot of their music on a Sony Walkman type of thing while commuting from home to university each day. And I also was fortunate enough to attend one of their concerts.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say conference. One of their concerts at Wembley Stadium, which was the Breakfast in America concert. And it was particularly formative. In the sense that you're following this particular band, and then when you actually attend one of those concerts, it further reinforces your following of the band.
Ah, because sometimes you sort of, you go and you see them, because in those days, did they have pop videos? I'm not being rude. Did they sort of have...
You are being rude.
I'm not being rude. But was that a common thing to see pop band videos?
Yes, music had been invented by that stage. And videos were, but also, of course, a lot of this was done on TV. So you had Top of the Pops mm-hmm. in the UK, which you will...
I do remember.
Remember. And so that was really the equivalent of the video music videos of today, really. That was the start.
So going to a concert was really big, though, because you would see stuff... Like now you can find anything, and I think it's less special. But going to a real live concert in those days must have really been... Like I said, formative, really, seeing a band and connecting.
And certainly, and you're there with tens of thousands of people, so the atmosphere is obviously completely completely different.
So was that Wembley Stadium, you said?
It was Wembley Stadium, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
No, actually, not the stadium itself, but okay. they've got a part where they do the concerts, which is separate from the stadium, if I remember rightly.
It might have all changed anyway, because didn't they rebuild the stadium? But anyway, we're going off track. We're going to have Breakfast in America with Supertramp. Now, this next song I do know, and I actually remember. So that's like, it's Pink Floyd's The Wall. And I remember this when I was at school, you know, and as kids really wanting to be those kids that were in that video. I think every kid wanted to be. So, again, where does Pink Floyd's The Wall take you back to?
Well, it probably reminds you because of the line, we don't want no education.
Yeah.
So, again, really, Supertramp and Pink Floyd were two major, major bands in that era. So we're talking about the period in around the 1980, 81, 82 sort of period. And The Wall had just come out. And again, I went to see Pink Floyd at Wembley. And that was even more amazing because they had the whole special effects which they had in that concert were, at least for those times, very spectacular. Today we would laugh at them because obviously this whole area has evolved much further. But, you know, Pink Floyd is an absolutely iconic group. And The Wall is probably the most, if not one of the most famous and well-recognized of their particular songs. So this, again, takes me back to that particular age.
So what were you doing as a student in London? What were you studying?
Well, I started off studying economic geography.
Okay.
And in my first term, I had taken up an elective course on computer mapping.
Mm-hmm.
And that fascinated me. So I started doing a lot of stuff related to mapping. And that diverted me to a large extent into the computer sciences modules. So I then actually switched into a focus which was more down the area of computer sciences and programming and design.
And that's where you led you to your career, basically, in starting a computer company and stuff.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, it was worth going there to study. You weren't just going to concerts.
No. To be fair, these were the only two concerts I ever went to.
Okay.
And that's one of my regrets of not having used my time in London to actually make more use of the opportunities that London offers.
Well, some of these bands are still going around. You could probably go to their, you know, the retirement or the alimony tours, I think they generally call them now, don't they?
The abattoirs.
Yes, I mean, I would love to have gone to that, but maybe they'll do that again. So that was, Pink Floyd's The Wall. We'll have a listen to that, and I bet you can't stop yourself from singing if you're driving.
No dark sarcasm.
Now, the next song, I hope, includes me, because this is Pavarotti's Nessun Dorma, and I have a memory of this, of you singing this to me when we were dating at the very, very beginning of our relationship, and I think I just cry every time I hear this, so I'm going to have to keep my headphones off when this one plays. But tell us about Nessun Dorma for you.
I think you've said it all. Not only is it obviously an amazing piece of music, particularly my favourite is Pavarotti with this, because Pavarotti's style seems to lend itself particularly well, and obviously it's probably his most well-known in terms of the popular music follower, in terms of his rendition of Nessun Dorma. And it also reminds me specifically of the World Cup in Italy, where the three tenors, I would say led by Pavarotti, performed this at the opening ceremony.
There you go. We're gonna have a listen, and I'm going to dry my eyes before we come back. His version's good, but yours? No, seriously.
Very kind.
Seriously. But anyway, we will swiftly march to the scaffold with Berlioz. And where does this one take you? This is off-center. So
you'd think so. It is an amazing piece of music. But the memory here takes me back to what I mentioned earlier, that I used to play the violin.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at school in England, and the first year of senior school, it was obligatory to learn to play an orchestral musical instrument. And I chose the violin only because I knew the teacher, and I thought it would be a soft touch. But I ended up actually playing the violin for the whole of the 5 years that I was there. And I ended up as a first violin in the orchestra. And we used to actually perform some pretty major works. So this was one of the things, but we also did things like Handel's Messiah, and we also did St. Matthew's Passion by Johann Sebastian Bach. So we did some very serious piece of music. And this is really, rather than choosing something a bit morbid like the St. Matthew's Passion, I chose Berlioz because it's quite uplifting as a piece of music. So reminding me of my violin playing times. I will stress, I was never very good. and I stopped playing as soon as I wasn't playing with the orchestra, because when you play with the orchestra, you hear everyone's music rather than just your own.
Oh, it's a shame you didn't continue, though.
I know, but Amber has my violin.
Ah, so it is continued to be played.
Yes, yes.
Ah, and I'm sure she's doing a beautiful job with it. So we're going to have a listen to a bit of March to the Scaffold. We'll be back soon.
Thank you.
Stevens is the next artist who evokes a memory for you with the song Father and Son. Tell me a bit more about that.
Well, again, Cat Stevens was one of the musicians that I was very keen on when I was my late teens and early 20s. And I do listen to music. He's one of the musicians that comes up in my playlists on my devices. Again, this is a very, very beautiful song, nice words, with nice music. It's very gentle. And it just, again, evokes listening to this type of music in the summer holidays is my sort of memory.
So is it kind of a boating song? It's relaxed?
Yes, very much so.
There you go. So don't fall asleep at the wheel. We've got Father and Son by Cat Stevens coming up next.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. Then I try to explain. When I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. Change, just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree, but it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
Just had a bit of a dance to that one in the studio here, the Cat Stevens, so thank you for that. The next one is another one, makes me sob. So Conte Patero by Bocelli. Oh, you speak.
Again, this is the same sort of memory that it evokes, as was the case with Nessun Dorma. You know, Partirò, Conte Partirò, is a particularly emotive song, piece of music. And I think this is best performed by Bocelli. He has a particular, I don't know whether it's his voice or whether other aspects, but this is actually something which is particularly, I don't know, almost tearful in the case of Bocelli singing it.
I think we should just get on and listen and speak no more and enjoy.
So che non c'è luce in una stanza quando manca il sole. Se non ci sei tu con me su le finestre mostra a tutti il mio cuore che hai acceso più dentro me la luce che hai incontrato per strada. Con te partirò, paesi che non ho mai veduto e vissuto con te. Adesso sì,
we're going to listen to is another really moving piece of music. This is Amazing Grace, which really needs no introduction. But in this case, we're going to listen to a version recorded by your daughter Amber as well, that she'd recorded at St. John's Co-Cathedral, a cappella. Beautiful, beautiful rendition, obviously beautiful location. So I urge everybody to go and look at the video online. If you just Google St. John's Co-Cathedral in Amber or Amazing Grace, you'll find it. But what's the memory for you that this song brings?
Well, this is a sad memory, but also a happy memory. It's a mix of the two. And whenever I hear this piece of music now, in any context, it takes me back to my father's funeral in 6 years ago now. And Amber sang Amazing Grace a cappella at the funeral. And it was obviously extremely moving because she kept all her composure, rather difficult, I'm sure. And this is the memory that it evokes. So sadness because it's at a funeral, but it was also something which we were celebrating my father's very full life. So it was nice to do it with Amber in this way.
So we're just going to take a very peaceful listen to the most beautiful rendition of Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils and snares, have we that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see.
So Handel's Messiah, you've got the Alleluia chorus from that as another memory. Is that a recent memory as well? Because that's obviously a very classic piece of music.
Absolutely classic, yes. And that's why I've included it here, because it is classic for a reason. It's a classic because it is an amazing composition. And it is also one that reminds me of my violin playing days, because we actually performed Handel's Messiah, which is an amazingly big work. And for us to have done Handel's Messiah as a school orchestra, there was a lot of work that went into preparing for that particular concert. So it sort of evokes memories of me, and I can still see myself sitting in the school chapel, church actually, because it was pretty large, and performing that. And we actually recorded it.
Okay.
And I have an LP, which we might need to describe what an LP is, but it's essentially a record, a 72 record. And I've got that recorded together with some other piece of music that we had recorded as a school orchestra.
Ah, we should have played that version, but...
Maybe not. There was a reason I didn't dig it out.
Well, we'll listen to what yours was based on, shall we?
Yes.
And we'll come back for the last couple of songs. Very moving, the last one, but this next one, it just makes me smile. I'm going to let you talk about it while I giggle in the corner and get ready for the performance of Jonah Lewis's Stop the Cavalry. So tell us, John, what's your memory of this?
This is quite ridiculous. This is a case of dalle stelle alle stalle in terms of the type of music that we've played so far. But this is just a funny Christmas song. And when you're listening to this, last thing you'll be thinking about is Christmas, no doubt, because of the heat. But this has developed into a tradition with you and I playing this song and dancing to this song in a particular way, which doesn't translate very well into radio, of course.
Thankfully.
We have a tradition of playing this whenever we're putting up the Christmas tree. In all these years. So we've got a recording of it that we keep, and it does come out once a year, sort of thing. And with this song, there was some film, I don't even remember which it was, where you actually see the characters and their wooden characters dancing to this song, dancing left and right in a very wooden way, and one going up, the other going down, up and down like that. And that's the dance that we do every Christmas, putting up the Christmas tree.
So, everyone, really enjoy. Happy Christmas in advance. We're going to leave you. That's me, John DiGiorgio. No, you, John DiGiorgio. Me, Monique Chambers, with Stop the Cavalry by Jonah Lewis. Thanks for joining us on Musical Memories.
Mr. Churchill comes over here to say we're doing splendidly, but it's very cold out here in the snow, marching to and from the enemy. Oh, I say it's tough, I have had enough, can you stop the cavalry? Stop the cavalry. Mary Bradley waits at see now in the eyes of the girl I love. Wish I was at home for Christmas. Bang, that's another bomb on another town. While there's R and Jim FT. If I get home, lift up, tell the tale, I'll run for all presidencies. If I get elected, I'll stop. I will stop the cavalry.
We hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest. Tune in next week for more.